You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
I'm Kevin H.
I'm Kevin C.
And I'm a Seth.
And this is the
Dark Windows Podcast.
So just a disclaimer, we are going to talk about some things that people might not be super comfortable with. We're going to use some
language
that people are not going to be super comfortable with.
That's adult language. Expletives.
So sit back.
Relax.
And enjoy the show.
Or not. That's cool too. What's up, ladies and gentlemen, boys and ghouls? Yeah, you see what I said then? You know what that means? We're talking about vampires.
Welcome
things
to
of
the show.
Myth, legend, scary stuff. And reality, because apparently all this stuff is set in reality.
A lot of it's set in folklore.
But... yeah, folklore, reality, vampires, man.
But we should probably, speaking of scary stuff, go over to studio.com.
That we can hear this spooky, spooky.
Scary.
It's not. But the amount of money you'll save when you find a nice pair of headphones and use our discount code Dark Windows, that's scary. Because 15% off is pretty good money.
It is. I love
it. So we'll get you some money off there. Go check out. You can get the Regents, which are kick fucking ass. Now the over the ear, then they've got
in the
three
ear.
Or four different models of just earbuds.
Uh-huh.
Including some like
Bluetooth wireless.
Completely wireless ones that are pretty awesome, which I'm going to have to get myself a pair of, I think, at some point.
Maybe someday I'll actually will get myself a pair.
You know, you got a birthday coming up there, big guy.
No, you know what I want?
What? Headphones.
No. Two front teeth.
I win.
I think it's some kind of weird paradoxy thing. We can't do this.
No, not right now.
Speaking of paradoxes, if you go over to Game Envy,
I was like, wow, talk to
Seth.
Speaking about paradoxes, Kevin C's transitions into segues.
I'm just trying to get him as bad as humanly possible.
You don't
and
even
I'm doing
need to,
a really
don't need to
good
try.
Job.
You don't need to try.
He's just like, fuck it. How can I mess this up today? Here we go.
That way I have to bail out this sinking ship.
Hey, here's your bucket. bailing, bitch.
What he is talking about is, folks, and I've said it time in and time out all the times.
How many times?
I'm counting on my fingers, and I need more hands. Since episode 13.
Take your shoes off. It'll help.
We're going to be here for a while. But what we're talking about is the hobby holder. The hobby holder, like I said before, is a 2-in-1 multi-purpose miniature painting tool. It comes with a handle of variety of colors, a base of variety of colors. And the cool part is the base rotates in the handle. So that means you can get all that sweet, sweet, delicious little detail that those little miniatures have. So... that means if you want one or you know somebody who else wants one, you put in that sweet promo code Baradzone. I don't feel like spelling it today. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to spell it. Why? Shenanigans.
Because I don't feel like it.
Just because I don't feel like it, but I want to make sure you people get all of them.
Wow, that was a big one.
Just want to make sure all you beautiful, wonderful people get those discounts that you so rightly deserve listening to our beautiful voices. The promo code is Broadstone, BROADSTONE. You put that in to check out and you save yourself $2 off each hobby holder. That means if you have you and multitude of other friends want hobby holders, guess what? You're saving yourself $2 off each of those hobby holders. GameEnvyCreations.net. Go to them. They have amazing stuff. Love you. Bye.
Hobby
Not really, holder. Bye.
Hobby holder. By the makers of...
No, they're Game Envy, maker of Hobby Holder.
So.
Don't ruin my stuff.
This week, we are going to talk about something that kind of sucks.
There it is, the pun again.
There it is. I've been doing it all day. It's awesome.
You're awfully punny.
I am pretty punny.
Have to get right to the... wait, this could be pretty fangtastic.
Ooh. Not bad. Well, anyway, since
quite
we're
draining.
Since all this three of better. Us since all three of us fucking suck at puns, we're talking about vampires.
Yay!
Woo!
And when you're going to deal with these crazy elusive creatures, I know one thing that we all need.
What?
Ready for this?
Oh, and God.
So my wife is a consummate trickster.
Hold on, hold on. Let me get Facebook Live going here so we can actually
okay,
see what
we'll,
this is.
Okay. We'll cut all this part out.
Okay. Hold on here. Okay. Anyway.
So since we're talking about the...
Oh, hold on. I got to hit start.
God damn it. Son of a bitch.
Okay. Hold on. Wait. It's still starting.
Then don't okay. say okay.
Now we're good.
Jeez, you're killing me here. So since we're talking about these vampires and all their craziness and their shenanigans that they cause, what is the one thing you need if you're ever a victim of a vampire?
Garlic.
That's one thing.
A steak.
A steak, like medium rare.
Yeah, definitely.
No, you need adhesive strips. These, my friends, are Jesus bandages. Why? Because the only way to protect yourself is with God and adhesive strips, because you don't want to get infected. You get infected, then you're going to come out as a ghoul.
So what, you just like stick it on the tooth marks and some shit, or
yeah,
what?
Yeah, dude.
That's
check
ridiculous.
These things out. She ordered me these because she's like, you know, we were talking about vampires. Who doesn't
okay, hold
need
on.
Some sweet Jesus bandages? Because think about it. You get bit like right here, bam, right to the carotid. Done. Now I'm healthy. Now I'm going to be safe.
Dude, your wife is fantastic.
Dude,
oh,
she's
amazing.
Is this a cure-all?
No, this isn't a cure. This is protecting so that they don't get infected.
Does it have garlic in the bandage thing itself?
I don't know, dude. I'm not opening these.
Ah, damn it.
She also got me these other ones that are pickles. Super awesome.
No. It's not meant to kill you.
What are the pickles for?
No, it's pickle bandages.
Yeah, but what do those protect you against?
Nothing. They're not protected.
Boring bandages? But check this out.
Oh, it helps if you get attacked by a cucumber because the pickling, like the vinegar, actually like dried out.
This company also gives you a little free gift, and it's a little tattoo.
Nice.
How awesome is that? So,
that's
yeah.
pretty kick-ass.
Since we're talking about this.
Hey, by the way, she's watching the video right now, so.
Now I am protected against weird nastiness that gets when you get bit because you know they're not brushing their teeth.
May the power
of course.
May the power of Christ heal all your wounds.
Because they don't brush their teeth, don't want infection, hydrogen peroxide, bandages.
And if you get bit, you know, you want to stay pure as possible.
Boom.
Duh.
That's fucking awesome.
She's amazing.
Okay.
All right, let's get this
show
on the road.
Yeah, we're going to get started now. So I'm going to shut this video off. Goodbye, all three people that watched.
Love you.
Wow, that's fucking great, dude. Oh my God.
I opened up the package in the mail. I was like, what the hell is this pickle?
Fuck's this?
Pickle band-aids? And she's like, you got one more coming. The next day, I opened up like, Jesus bandages. Because I'm like, Jesus!
Jesus!
Danzig, Jesus!
Fucking John Zandig. Like, oh.
May the power of the Jesus compel you!
Hey, hold on, tiny little Joey Janela. I'm going to jump off a fucking roof with you through a bunch of 2x4s and light tubes into the back of a truck.
Who?
The indie wrestling thing I was watching on YouTube. They legitimately
CZW.
Jump off the roof of the building.
Through, off his house. Someone's house.
No, it was a warehouse.
Oh.
It was. They jumped off of it. He's got him in like a fucking like side cradle kind of deal. They go into the bed of a truck, but before they hit the bed of the truck, they hit a bunch of fucking 2x4s and light tubes and shit.
Nice.
And like tiny little Joey Janela gets up and he's like, oh, hey, my thumb's bleeding. And it's kind of like bleh, flops back. Yeah, they took both of them out of there in ambulances. It was pretty fucking sweet. But I'll tell you what kind of guy he is. The guy that jumped off the truck, he landed off the building, landed in his own truck. So if anything got damaged, it was his fault and his responsibility, not somebody else's.
But I'm going to tell you what, he's really not. He's not an Ozzy vampire.
A Nazi vampire?
No, Ozzy, not Nazi.
Oh. I was going to say, dude, Nazi vampires are pretty fucking intense. Like,
no,
everybody's worried about Nazi zombies. What about, you know, Nazi vampires be scarier? Or even those, what's that Rob Zombie song? The Werewolf Women of the SS. Don't fuck with that. Don't fuck with that.
Well, werewolves are, you know, arch nemesis of vampires.
Allegedly. A lot of them are kind of one and the same, though.
What's that with lore?
Yeah.
Generally, werewolves are more able to kill vampires. Like, you see that in movies, like with Van Helsing and obviously the Underworld. But it's a catch-22 because depending on where the level the werewolf is at, they can be used as protectors of the actual vampires, whether slumbering or used as weapons. However, most times, because werewolves are held in a sense of slavery to vampires, they will, like, if you get one or two, they will turn and attack them and they have the ability to just tear them to shreds.
Well, before we get going too far, I wanted to talk about the source that Kevin and I use for a lot of our stuff. It's actually called, it's Google. A book. It's a massive, giant, big book. Again, thank you, Green Hand in Portland, Maine, for all the awesome shit that I bought
Free
there.
Publicity.
It's called The Vampire Slayer's Field Guide to the Undead by Shane McDougall.
What a great name.
And the reason that I was like, hey, we should do a vampire episode is because we both, Kevin and I both have been listening to a pretty fucking rad Audible V-Wars. Book series called V-Wars by Jonathan Mayberry and a bunch of other really kick-ass authors.
Who is Shane McDougall?
Spoiler alert. Jonathan Mayberry is.
Spoiler alert. Shit him. Let that cat out of the bag.
Hey, if you follow his awesome ass on Facebook, he told you that.
Well, whatever. But I don't have Facebook.
But actually, talking about the werewolves and vampires thing, there's a couple of the, like one of the Greek ones I was looking at in here. If you are a vampire and you're killed and you're not buried correctly, you come back as a werewolf. And then there's one that's actually vice versa of that. So if you're a werewolf and not buried correctly, you come back as a vampire. So yeah, it's kind of intense.
It's interesting.
Yeah. Mm. So you want to start us off?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So first one. I did mostly Africa. Not mostly. Both of mine are from Africa. So
both of his are from Africa.
Mine are from Africa.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, just keep talking.
Thank you. First one is the Ozzy vampire. God, don't play that because I'm going to start singing it.
I was just trying to get into this background music. Okay, sorry. Anyway.
So... of legend, they are found in southern Togo, Ghana, and Benin. They are a legend of the Ewe people, E-W-E. And if you...
Wait, it's spelled like U, like a sheep, right?
What?
That E-W-E, that's the same way that... I don't know. I'm just talking out my butt. Anyway.
I guess so. They take a form of a firefly... common fly or a large mosquito.
Bloodsucker playing as a bloodsucker.
Yeah.
I'd actually rather deal with a vampire than deal with mosquitoes. I hate mosquitoes.
Mm. Imagine if one turned into fucking ticks, like a cloud of ticks.
Burn them with fire.
So the reason for the disguise of the aforementioned insects was that it allows them to ability to get into little tiny holes.
Of course.
Like key locks, so they can just like fly in.
Well, I mean, let's also be realistic. Most of those countries, like, it's so fucking hot. If you have window holes, it's probably, there's no window in it, I wouldn't think. You're just, you know.
Yeah, or there are holes in your tent, because.
Yeah.
I mean.
Mosquito nets don't stop all mosquitoes.
True. But I mean, it's a firefly. It's harmless, right?
Yeah.
Wrong.
It aims to misbehave, though.
It's true.
Firefly reference.
So, when they are in insect form, they're indestructible. This means that no matter what type of magic or insecticide used on them, it will not work. And if somebody tries to catch them with a net, aha, they're gone.
As someone who formerly did pest control, I can tell you that is my worst nightmare, is coming up against a bug that I can't kill with fucking chemicals and stuff, because it's like, and I have to slap all of you to death. That's going to be awesome.
That's why I would use a flamethrower.
Yeah. Yeah. Flamethrower will work.
On all mosquitoes and hornets. Sorry, I just have hatred towards those.
So
continue.
The true form of these creatures is often motherless children.
Oh.
Or a member of the community who has always demonstrated deviant ways. So basically, if you're a little shithead in a town and you just, you know, cause a little bit of trouble, you're a vampire.
Or if you're legally a little bastard.
No, that's not deviant behavior,
though. No, but it's a motherless child.
That's true. Well, no.
Wait, I think I would be one of these little guys.
Your father.
Oh, that's true.
Fatherless child.
What if you're an orphan? Then you're a double vampire. You're fucked.
That's true. Ooh, damn. Yes, because you were fatherless and
fucking
motherless.
Double vampire.
Damn.
Yuck.
Are they more dangerous?
I think maybe.
Okay. I'll go with it. If they are caught in their insect form, they turn into a quasi-human with a hunchback, sharp talons, and jet black skin.
Like ringing a bell tower hunchback or what?
Yes.
Oh, gross. No offense to any hunchbacks, but you're gross.
Igor! It's Igor.
Oh, God. Whoa!
Oh, shit.
Gee, bus.
Didn't mean it. Sorry.
Holy cow, kid.
So when they are in this quasi-human form, they can attack and kill their victims, drink their blood, and eat both their heart and liver. I don't know what the hell point of that is, but I guess this must be life force.
There's a lot of vampire lore that's got a lot to do with the heart and liver, too.
Heart's where the most blood is, man. Pumps it, and then...
Yeah, I guess, I mean, I would say the heart because life force, but liver, I'm not quite sure.
A lot of protein.
I'll go with it.
But no, like, there was a Native American one I was going to cover, the Raven Mocker. They will, they eat your heart and liver and shit, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not cool.
When it's in its human form, they can be killed by any means that kills a normal human. But they are more dangerous when they're in this form because it's like a rabid dog. You know, don't corner them because, well, they're just going to attack you and rip you apart. You know, so you just don't try to, you know, mess with them too
much.
Don't
fuck with them. Just, you know.
Now, they are thought to feed, to find children and they feed on them because, well, I guess it's the easiest target is children.
Yeah, children, especially, old people.
Especially infants, you know. And,
we could easily distract a kid with something sweet or have him walk over, easy prey.
Overpower him.
Yeah, same thing.
Well, I mean, if they're in their fly form, you know, I mean, it's
you can't get to them really quick.
Yeah, you can't really do too much. I mean, especially an infant. The infant will just, you know, what, cry? Complain?
They're defenseless. It's a little kid, man. It's...
But if they don't happen to feed on children or whatever, they just won't survive.
Wow.
I mean, they can,
but... I was going to say, so they can only feed on children, or they...
No.
Okay, because that's what I was... That's how I took that as...
No, they have to, at some point, feed. I mean...
Okay.
They have to, because that's the only way they can really survive. I didn't understand it either. I'm like, well, wait a minute. I'm just coming to another part where they can...
But the other thing
they can do?
The other thing to keep in mind is this is all oral tradition stuff. So shit, telephone game, shit gets confused here and there, you know?
What if it's like that whole thing where they need to feed off, like, say, a virgin once every 100 years to maintain their youth or...
Good luck with that nowadays. Hey-o! No, I'm kidding.
No, but I'm serious. Like, what if in the lore there's something that states that every 100 years, every 50 years, they need to feed on a child to maintain their youth where they can feed off of anything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But they have to, like, in this certain amount of time, have this child or, like, youth of some age.
Special blood.
Yeah, to make sure that they keep, you know, staying young. Because it was like that in Once Bitten with Jim Carrey. The lady that was a vampire had to feed off of a virgin, like, every 100 years in order to maintain her youth. But she could feed off of anybody if she wanted to, whenever she wanted to. But everything was, like, every 100 years or so, she had to feed off of a virgin.
Okay, fair enough.
Boom, gotcha. Yeah.
So they don't necessarily have to kill the victims. They just have to drink just enough to survive and then just move on. Yeah. Now, when they're in their fly form, they tend to inhabit the bodies of disease-carrying flies so that they can spread their disease.
Okay.
I don't know. It's almost like I'm kind of like going, okay, so they can just like jump off of one body into another. So it's like it's almost like it's hard to catch them.
Yeah.
You know, pretty much you almost have to get them in their quasi-human form.
Yeah. Well, that kind of ties in with the first one I'm going to talk about when I get to it, because it's got a lot. There's vampire lore and plagues and shit are like they go hand in hand.
Yeah.
For most of them.
If they're not able to feed for a long time, and then they do feed, their victims become infected with a deadly disease. So this is back to where, like, mosquitoes and, you know, they carry diseases.
Yeah, especially in that part of Africa.
Where malaria.
Malaria, a bunch of other nasty shit. West Nile virus, something similar to that.
Yes. Yeah. Now, like we had said, you know, like I kind of said, they can feed on human, or they prefer children and stuff, but they don't always necessarily don't have to feed on just human. They often will raid the supply of palm oil or coconut oil, coconut water, that is stockpiled by the
villages.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so they'll feed on that.
So they're opportunistic. They'll feed on whatever they can. However, if they can get some warm, tasty blood, they're going after that right away. Yeah.
If I ever get turned into one of these things, I have to stick with blood or else I'll end up in the hospital. Mm. Fucking coconut bullshit.
But this is where their weakness is. It's like
chicken with a dick.
It's like candy, you know? Like, ooh, hey, look, piece of candy. Ooh, ooh, hey, look, piece of candy. You know, they get so sidetracked by it, they get basically drunk.
Really?
Yeah, it's kind of like they become weak, lethargic. They don't want to move.
Look at that dumb bug, man. That little mosquito bastard's been flying into the walls like every 10 seconds.
It's got to be an Aussie. Get it!
I have no idea what it is, man, but we may want to go burn it.
A bunch of dudes like kick the doors in with fucking AKs and start shooting at flies. I think I got them.
Yeah. So what the Iwi people do is they set traps of coconut oil or palm oil out. They're like, yeah, we're going to get them.
Now I've got a question about this thing. Does one of them like overtake a group of flies, or is each fly an individual vampire?
I think I just don't really know.
Okay.
Because it could be like, what was it? The traditional bat thing is that it's single, but occasionally there's bats that, you know, a vampire will traditionally transform into a single bat. But then there's also some instances where
they turn
a vampire
into a bunch.
Into like a, yeah, I don't know what a flock of bats is that.
I
usually say cloud, but
yeah, well, yeah, because it seems like that's what they're moving like a cloud. So I think it's probably the same situation. It's whoever's telling the story will say, "Oh, I saw him as one giant fly," and then but other people are like, "No, man, there's a mass of them that came together and formed this weird thing."
Yeah, I don't really know.
Regardless, burn it with fire.
I guess
purge so, yeah. The Xenos.
Now, if
it's called a colony of bats,
that sounds scarier. Actually,
I know, right?
Now, if they are captured, they are then slowly tortured to a slow and painful death.
Fuckers. Slow and painful how? Like, how do they torture them? Oh.
I really don't know. They don't. Mike, it's like,
oh.
We'll pull their foreskins off with tweezers.
If they're flies, do they pull off their wings?
Pull off their wings one by one, you know.
Break the little fly leg.
Yep.
Take off one wing so it flies in a circle nonstop.
Hey, I don't know anybody that's ever done that.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Looks suspiciously at himself.
I was like, I'm looking down the whole time at the table. I'm like, oh man, dude, this is a cool table. Look at this.
Now, if the Adzi is powerful enough, they are able to possess a human.
Oh boy.
Possess.
And make them a living vampire.
Okay, so they kind of like enthrall them. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough.
Now, if the human is captured, they revert back to a normal human. They're no longer vampires.
So all you have to do is capture them. You don't have to like
beat
them with hemlock or anything like that. No, you just what the fuck, dude?
No. You get like that one guy who's like, I'm a vampire, you'll never catch me. He's sitting on the corner, like going to the bathroom, all of a sudden throws a blanket on him, caught you.
I'm not a vampire. I lied, I just had to poop. I didn't want anybody near me.
What I'm guessing, it's almost like it's like a fog. You know, they don't really realize they are. But then the veil is lifted. Whoop. Hey, look. Damn. What the hell?
So it's like being really, really drunk and like being in the being hungover, and you're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And then like 3 days later, when you finally recover, you're like, oh wait, I'm a people again.
Yep. Ugh,
no, I am person.
Now they prefer to possess sorcerers because they want to obtain the sorcerer's magic.
Shamans always getting the short
end. This just keeps getting weirder and weirder.
But here's where they're like, fuck. Humans, god damn you.
They like to possess sorcerers because they got really cool fucking robes and hats usually.
Well,
it's a wizard.
I know, but
yeah,
not these people.
How do you know?
Well, it's in Africa.
When have you been to Africa?
Whoa.
No, they're mostly shaman, asshole. Yeah, who's the one going there?
No, huh? You were saying sorcerer. I was the one that's saying shaman. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, but I was saying in Africa, they're like a shaman though. I was agreeing with
you. So what you're trying to say is there's no wizards in Africa?
I don't know.
They may sell Wizards of the Coast magic cards, so then everyone could be a magician.
That's true.
I'm looking at Buffy the Vampire Slayer stuff
there,
right now.
Is there one in here just now?
Yes, I think
son
there
of a bitch.
Now, if the sorcerer is captured, guess what happens?
He turns back into a sorcerer.
Exactly. But the Odzi's magic that he obtains goes away. Poor son of a bitch.
So wait. These guys, if you pretty much just capture, if one of these quote-unquote Aussies or whatever vampires somehow gets a hold of somebody, bites them, you throw a blanket on them, back to normal. If a shaman gets bit by one of these things, they're possessed, they want the power, but if they get captured, just walk around with a goddamn blanket around you the entire time. Be like, I got captured. You can't bite
me. Shittiest vampire ever.
Yeah. I
don't mean to be rude, but...
No, it's...
God,
it just seems counterintuitive. It's like, oh, we can capture him. They rub their like little fly hands together.
Well,
and then
think
like,
about it.
He's one of us now. Fuck, they threw an ad on him. God
like,
damn it.
It's like they're the bitch of the, you know, the little weakling, the runt. Yeah. Of the whole of everything,
a little
but
snotling.
Like, but they can fit. You know, they can go into little small places.
They're just irritating dickheads.
They are.
Yeah.
Like I'm going from like Vlad Dracul and like the underworld and the Van Helsing and all these other like mythos of vampires. Even Nosferatu for some weird instance because that poor albino, poor bucktooth kid,
Count Orlok.
Like all this stuff, and then all of a sudden, hearing this, it's like I'm actually getting angry. Because I know this is real. I know this is this culture, and I totally get it, and I understand it. But I'm like, this is not like anything near my realm. This just seems like they're dealing with annoying stuff, and because someone gets bit, they act all weird and twitchy. Because let's be honest, when you get bit by a mosquito, it fucking sucks. You itch it. It gets red. You can't sleep because you're probably constantly getting bit. And when you get captured, i.e. a mosquito net, the problems go away.
Yeah, exactly. Ah! No, the possessed person is believed to be in a zombie-like state.
Ooh.
And they will eventually become sick and die if they are not captured.
That's because it's called a disease.
Exactly.
Malaria.
When they get captured, probably acting all weird. They're acting all weird. Yeah, I totally get it. But it feels like they're acting weird, so they're getting medical attention, and people are seeing like, oh, they got bit by mosquitoes, or they got some sort of thing going on, so they give them medication, and then everything gets fixed. I'm sorry, this is infuriating me.
Okay, you want to get infuriated more? Here we go.
No, I didn't say yes. I'm ready to move on. I'm ready to let this one go and move on, because this is not a vampire. This is just...
Not yet, sir. Hold that phone, because... If you're suspected of being a vampire...
Hold on, let me punch my microphone.
Punch it? I punched the stand.
No, you...
So anyway, you could be suspected of being possessed by the Odzi by
quote unquote
three different situations. The first one is if you're a woman who has a brother whose children fared better than your children. Mm-hmm. Yep. Second situation.
So if your sister is more successful than you, and so are her kids, because you're fucking lazy, that means you're a vampire?
No, reverse. If you are more successful than your sister and your kids are more successful, your kids are more successful than your sister's kids.
Okay.
Not the other way around.
Okay. Huh.
I'm done.
So wait a minute. Hold on.
Don't try to make sense of it.
So would that be the equivalent of saying that people who are... on welfare, but they are perfectly capable of working or vampires?
Yes.
Social vampires.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
The second
social economic vampires.
The second situation is if you're an older person and the young around you start dying and the rest of the old ones, everybody that's old, are the older ones that survive. Everyone else just dies.
So if you're an elderly person and the young people around you are dying, you're considered as the elderly person a vampire.
Uh-huh.
So wait a minute. So this thing could also technically be like a psychic vampire kind of, which like just sucks the life force out of people other than just drinking blood and shit too. Essentially is what you're getting at with that.
No, if they have a disease and they just start dying. disease just runs rampant because they their immune system sucks.
Ba-dum-bum. No. That's two.
Now, the last one is if the poor have been or are envious of the rich, you might be.
Okay, so
it's all speculation.
Hold on 1 second, folks.
All that racket you just heard was Seth slamming his fucking head on the table and then dropping his glasses and headphones. Feel better?
Ah, we're back now. Thank you.
Oh, he's all NPR now, too. Oh, my name is Seth Broadstone. Welcome to NPR. We're going to be talking about vampires today after I slam my head off the table.
And break my mic stand.
Yeah, apparently. You butt sexed that thing hard, buddy.
Yeah, let's talk more about this dumb thing.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, man. This thing just pisses me off so much.
No. I was like,
this is not a vampire. This feels like this is just people making up stories about mosquitoes.
Dude, his
exactly. That's what it is.
Really?
Basically, stories of mosquitoes with fucking malaria.
I wish you gave me the prerequisite of this because I wouldn't have fucked up my mic stand.
His other one that he's doing is pretty fucking rad.
It's just basically just
it's a way of explaining like pandemic diseases away.
A war, yeah.
That's pretty fucking excellent.
It's what basically any vampire tale is.
Most of them, yes. Yep.
You know,
because my first one is very similar, except it's with something a little bit scarier than malaria.
Let's talk about that one.
Okay, so the first one that I'm going to cover is from Czechoslovakia, and it is called the Nalapsi.
Nalapsi.
And actually, this one, the first time I had really actually heard about this one was in that book V-Wars that we were talking about. And I was kind of like, that sounds really fucking cool. I think I'm going to talk about that one. And then the more I looked into it, and I was like, okay, so it's got a lot of the standard, like, you know, standard issue vampire bullshit that goes with it. And I was kind of thinking, where else is this thing, like, popped up in, like, pop culture and stuff, I guess? Anybody who has seen the movie 30 Days of Night or read the comic book of it, those vampires were essentially Nalapsi, because what they do is they will go into an entire village and just suck everything dry, men, women, children, livestock, everything.
Wow.
They leave it a fucking wasteland. They are brutal. And Czechoslovakia has actually got a pretty heavy-duty vampire folklore, like, tradition. And the Nalapsi is the scariest, most dangerous of all of them.
Yeah, it's the whole Slavic thing.
Yeah, this is like kind of like the heartland of a lot of the older vampire stories is like Czechoslovakia, Serbia,
Romania,
Hungary, Transylvania, Romania are essentially the same thing. But like Bulgaria, Lithuania. That whole area. Yeah.
All the Wanias.
Yeah. Not so much the Stans, but the Anias. So as I was saying, the Nalapsi are ultra fucking dangerous. They can actually kill you with a glance.
Make your heart stop or something?
Yeah, like they're just dead. But it's more likely to tear your throat out with its teeth. And the Nalapsi is not usually described as having like the, you know, like the two like canine fangs or whatever. They're actually more, like, again, if you've seen 30 Days a Night where they have like the shark teeth, that's actually closer traditionally to what the Nalapsi's teeth would look like. Just a series of just very sharp, you know, teeth instead of having just the two where they just like the cute little poke holes.
Kind of like a shark's mouth?
Yeah, they just fucking grab and pull.
Oh, God, just all shredding serrations.
But they can also smother you to death with their hands and arms. It's like just fucking squeeze the life out of you.
Hmm.
Which kind of comes in handy considering what they're linked to. It's one of the hardest vampires in the world to kill because it's said to have two hearts and two souls, which makes it obviously hard to kill.
Two souls?
It's a Time Lord.
I was like, how does a... that's pretty fascinating.
Right? I can understand the two hearts thing, but two souls, like, that one just doesn't make any sense to me. That's kind of weird, but...
I wonder if it's one is the human form, and then one when the Nalapsi, like, actually, the demon or whatever it is, that actually, where the thing came from, like infiltrates the body, and now they're conflicting.
That's a good thought, actually.
That's why I was just coming out of the blue. Hmm.
But it's also said that with the Nalopsy comes like virulent, destructive plagues.
Which it is a plague.
Which don't kill the people that which will go and blah, 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 blah. So it's said that the Nalopsy comes with a violent, virulent plague that kills everybody that the Nalopsy doesn't itself kill outright. And this whole thing kind of popped up in, you know, whatever year it would be, but it's kind of like the Dark Ages. So where you got virulent plagues running a fucking muck across Europe anyway, just killing people wholesale.
So it's basically the explanation for them of the bubonic.
Yes, exactly. But there's a couple of different ways to kill it. Essentially, you can stake it, but you have to get both hearts and the head
at the same time.
No, you just have to get all three within like the same period of time, I'm guessing. So if you're like,
well, heart and head are standard issue,
but you have two hearts to deal with. You don't know where the other one is.
It's in its toe. God damn it.
So if it's like, you know, you have an encounter where, you know, you roll low on initiative and you come up against this thing, you have to kill it in that encounter. You can't just do damage and then come up against it in another room and have to fight it again. D&D references.
Nerd.
But one of the best ways to... Fuck you. So the people of the villages knew that the best way to defend against an Nalopsy is to prevent them in the first place.
So what does that mean? Does anything that looks like an Nalopsy just burn it?
Oh, no. This is where it gets interesting, because one of the best ways to prevent somebody being taken over by an Nalopsy is when they die and you're taking them out of the house in the casket.
Okay.
You have to bump the casket against the threshold on the way out.
So just hit the door frame.
Yep, because that'll shake loose any bad luck that was attached. That would attract evil spirits.
I thought you were going to stop there and be like, okay, folks, hold on. Wait a minute. Hold on. Open that up. Uncover the sheet. Yep. Sword, knife, whatever. Axe. Got it. Phew. Heads off. Okay.
No, they
stake.
No, they don't do that until they think you have a vampire. Then they dig them up and fuck them over like that.
Actually, what I was thinking was that somebody was carrying it and they got super drunk while carrying the casket out, and they hit the wall and like, oh god, what happened there? Oh god, I was knocking the bad karma out of this so that we don't get any losses.
I was knocking the devil off of it.
I love it.
So another thing that can be used, and this is actually pretty common with a lot of vampires in Europe, is seeds. You scatter seeds. This one specifically, you scatter poppy seeds between the graveyard, around the grave, and inside the grave.
Okay.
Because when it wakes up, like a lot of vampires, the Nalopsy is absolutely consumed with counting things.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought they'd take, they eat the seeds, and then all of a sudden, like, when you eat corn, you get it stuck in your teeth, and you spend 2 hours trying to pick it out, and they got those weird... layer teeth.
No, like they have to count them. So
is this, sound be rude, but are they like the autistic version of a vampire?
Yeah, it's Rain Man vampire, yeah. But there's a lot of them that are like that, a lot of different species that are like that.
Interesting.
But another thing that they say to do is you fill the dead person. You fill the dead person.
Dead person?
I turned into Mike Tyson. You gotta fill the dead person's mouth with stuff.
I'm watching the door because I'm like, if Mike Tyson comes in here, I'm running, because I'm going to start hearing Phil Collins and I'm going to duck.
Mike Tyson would turn my head into a fucking wristwatch. Just, oh.
It's dead o'clock.
It's almost bald spot o'clock.
Dead o'clock.
But they would suggest that you fill the dead person's mouth with seeds and millet, because again, when it wakes up, it has to spit all this shit out and then count it. So... Yeah, it's
no, I'm just laughing to be like, get that one guy. Oh my god, he's dead. We'll put seeds in his mouth and just grind it up in there. No, oh god, what is guys? I'm not in a Nalopsy.
I gotta count this bullshit.
I was drunk. I got hung. Oh my god, I passed out. Oh, I might as well hear 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Really, I'm only worth 8 seeds.
So, but the reason that you'd fill it up in the coffin like that is because it would actually have to count everything in the casket first. So by the time it's done counting. it won't rise because it's just like, fuck, I'm tired because I counted so much.
And then it falls asleep and wakes up and has to count all over
again.
Almost
makes me wonder if this is where the count from Sesame Street comes from. Is the count a fucking Nalopsy? You know? Ooh. He's got to laugh after every one of them. 3,658. Ha, ha, fuck.
That would be the worst Nalopsy because I would get to like five and be like,
Fucking I'm sleeping. I'm done.
Crap, my phone's dead. I don't know what's next.
I'm bored.
Just send somebody a text. Hey. What's after six?
And then the reason that you would scatter them between the graveyard and the rest of the village is because, again, they have to fucking stop and count every single one of these seeds as they're going.
Those motherfuckers exactly. Down.
One seed. Ooh, another one. One seed. Ooh, look, another one. Two seed.
But some of the folklore actually says it's not the poppy seed itself, but it's the flower. Which, does anybody know what poppies are used to make?
Yes.
Yeah. So essentially, you throw a bunch of flowers
lemon
in there.
Poppy seed cake.
No, heroin. Opium.
Yeah, I'm like.
But essentially, you would throw a bunch of flowers in there, and it would kind of like just keep it comfortably numb enough to stay in the grave. I got to switch sources here one quick.
When I die, please do that for me.
When I die, just fill my casket with weed. I'll be comfy.
No, man, I want lemon poppy seed muffins, lemon poppy seed cake, lemon poppy seed pound cake, lemon poppy seed mini muffins.
Okay, so in addition to all this other shit, you should take some iron nails and drive them very, very deeply into the arms and legs of the corpse. Oh, yeah, also the head. So just, and because iron is another thing with like supernatural shit, like, you know, iron fucks them over. So you should, other than driving them into the arms, legs, and head, you should also get some smaller pins and drive it into the hair and clothing. Because
pin him in place.
Well, the arms and legs should also. Well, it's what the fuck is that all about?
I don't know. You can't read. We've established this before.
No, it just says smaller nails should be used to securely pin hair and clothing to the body to the coffin.
You're pinning them down, like,
yeah,
you're
so essentially you're nailing their clothes and hair into the fucking coffin so that they can't get out.
Okay, then that could be kind of cool.
The arms and legs should also be bound to prevent them from moving, and the jaw is usually bound tightly to keep it from feeding on itself, which is kind of gross.
Okay, so you would take the time to nail its jaw shut so that it doesn't feed on itself.
Yep.
You know what this kind of reminds me of? Blade 2.
Yeah.
The little weird little creatures that if they did not feed in a certain amount of time, they would actually feed on themselves.
Yep.
Because there was one that was pinned and he was chewing on himself to try to get himself loose so then that way he could go feed.
Well, another thing that would be is rats.
Yeah, dude.
Because rats get trapped, they'll chew their own fucking legs off. And what did rats carry?
Typhoid.
Plague fucking mites.
Oh. Typhoid rats?
Yeah. Yeah, like the one. That was a magic card.
Yeah, one black. Boom. Yeah. Crap. Done.
I had a deck of those little fucks.
Yeah, I know. It sucked.
Rotten.
Literally.
So the final burial precaution is to pierce the corpse's heart or head with a long hat pin or a thin iron spike or a stake made from hawthorn, blackthorn, or oak. The Nalopsy is so feared that even when all these precautions are taken with the
precautions.
Utmost... Yes, that's what I said.
Not precautions.
Fuck you.
He can't read or count.
All these precautions are taken with the utmost care. The villagers will go home and thoroughly wash their hands if they have touched either the corpse, coffin, or the grave dirt. Then as a final act, they will light a need fire, a special type of bonfire made from a new wood. Effigies of evil things like witches, vampires, werewolves, shit like that, are thrown into the fire and burned. The original expression for this kind of thing was called a bone fire, which is where we get the term bonfire from.
Really?
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. So, you know, they would also after they do this, they would actually fucking like burn its heart and shit. And then they would take embers from that fire and they would go home and reignite their hearth fires with the embers from it to keep themselves safe from it. Yeah.
See, that part kind of confuses me because I would think that if you have like an Alasi that is burning in your house or whatever, in your hearthstone or your hearth, that it would actually draw attention because, you know, you have my kin burning in your hearth or you have ashes or embers of them. I can smell them. But then again, it could also be that if you have that burning in there, it's going to make the Alasi realize, okay, these people don't mess with them because they obviously have one of us in their hearth. So yeah, never mind. I think I solved my own quandary there.
It's going to sound gross, but it's like if you ever you ever catch a mouse in like a snap trap and you start hearing it squealing, leave it alone because that will actually kind of force other mice off. It'll keep them away from your house.
Really?
The sound, yeah. Or if you have more in there, they'll actually usually leave because of the sound, because they're just like, oh, fuck. It's like when a cat gets a hold of one and they start squealing. Fuck it, let it go.
Interesting. So,
you got some more shit, huh?
Yeah, hopefully nothing relating to just a dumb mosquito.
No, this one's fucking excellent, actually.
Okay, cool.
This one's pretty punk rock. You're going to like it.
Because you started off at the bottom of the barrel. We're at the middle. Keep it going. I want up. I want to keep going up.
So the next one is the Asanbansum.
Asanbansum.
And or it's pronounced the Asabansum. Okay. This is found in Ghana, Togo, and Ivory Coast. They have iron teeth, hang from trees, waiting for prey to walk below them. And then they spring.
Yeah, but how do they hang from the trees?
I'm getting there. They have...
I was just on the iron teeth. I was like, jeez, this thing sounds like Jaws from
Bond. Dude, these things are fucking sweet.
Yeah.
Not sweet. I don't want anywhere near me.
So, there's another variety. So they swing for... Because they have like their legs are basically made of metal, iron, or whatever.
They're iron fucking hooks.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wait, they're kind of like the hooks in Dead by Daylight. Those are big metal hooks. Sorry.
Never mind, Kateri. I was thinking almost like Baraka style, speaking of vampires.
Baraka's not a vampire, and he doesn't have metal hooks.
He had arms.
He had arms that protruded long blades.
Yes.
You're thinking of Cabal, who had the hook
swords. Yeah, there we go.
Not a vampire.
The second variety of these creatures hangs from a branch and swings its feet into the prey or around them and pull them up into the treetops.
Oh, So just fucking like hooks him with his legs.
So he just sits there and goes, you know, like waits. Ah, look at you. The third variety, which is the least common, and one jabs its hooks into the victim's neck and drains the blood through its feet.
Jesus.
And then eats the flesh of the victim. It's pretty cool.
That's fucking gross, dude.
That's kind of, yeah.
Now, a source that I found says that they have a snake-like tail to distract the prey. So basically it just rattles.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and they're like, ooh, what's that? Ooh, oh, you know, and then they attack. In Ghana, if a person mentions the name of the beast, they will bring bad luck to themselves and to everyone around them. So don't mention it.
No shit.
It is said that they can pass as a human in the daylight, but the only way that they're given away is due to their hooked feet. So that's the only way that, you know, anybody can actually tell that they're something different.
Huh.
These creatures are part of the Ashanti people's myths of vampires, and in their myth, the Asanbansum has a cousin called the Sasabansum.
Okay.
Sounds like an awesome possum, but not as cool.
Yeah. Now, according to their mythos, the two creatures are portrayed as either ogres or vampires.
Okay, vampires are, I think, more terrifying than ogres.
Yeah.
The Asanbansum is said to live in trees and drain the blood of those that wander into their territory, like their cousin. They're said to look like humans, but look a little bit more like a bat.
Like in the face?
Like a lot of most of everything. They said they had their arms, a little short, stubby arms, like a T-Rex.
Like that guy that used to work at the movie theater.
Lays back.
I used to put the money like way at my end of the thing just so he'd have to like come off his chair and be like,
I was a douchebag. They also have wings, and their wingspan is roughly 20 feet.
Jesus Christ.
They're said to have an emaciated body and twisted feet. In some of the myths, they have claws and horns. In others, they have iron teeth.
Yeah, that's kind of fucked up.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's pretty much all I could find on that variation, the cousin.
Right.
So, now this is what, something that threw me. Because they're like, some, I saw, like, went into, like, what they actually can eat other than drinking blood or eating the flesh of humans or whatever. They said they can consist off of a diet of other red meat, poultry, fish, and leaf vegetables. So I guess that kind of makes it their, makes them, you know,
they're omnivorous. Blend in
better.
Yeah.
You know, because they can, you know, they're like, oh, well, there's no way that they can be a vampire because they're eating everything weird.
Yeah, right? That's kind of fucking weird, though.
Yeah. Now, if in desperate times they need to get nutrition, they will grind iron filings off of their own claws. So off their, basically their feet to eat food.
Weird.
They are said to carry off their victims to a quiet spot in the woods, like a secluded ravine or gully, and kill them and leave the remains for animals. Now, this is where I kind of got them to be. They're like kind of an asshole. Because
kind of an asshole. All this other stuff. Yeah, yeah, no, it's just this is the one part where they are an asshole.
Yeah. Well, they wait for their traveler to come walking by on the trail.
Don't mind me.
Yeah, don't mind me up in the tree. You know, they don't see me, huh? And all of a sudden they like taunt them, and they taunt them so well that they get spooked and they run off.
Don't you a second time.
Yeah. So, well, this is basically like, ha-ha, I get to play with my food now. So they start running after them, and they capture them.
But that makes sense, though, with, like, predatory shit. Like, a lot of, like with bears and stuff, they won't bother you unless you run. Then it's like, oh, this is food now. And they chase you.
Yeah, because there's the thrill of the hunt.
Exactly.
Now, they're...
Unless they fall, then it's the spill of the hunt. Sorry. Told you I wasn't good at puns. Fuckers don't listen.
In other legends,
just don't stop putting out puns. Sorry.
In other legends, they are said to bite their victims on the thumb, in some favor of the throat. Now,
I mean, if you've ever cut your thumb really deeply, you can get a lot of blood out of there, you know. But
yeah, now this is where they kind of it comes back to reality with the biting of the thumb is. Based off of, like, you know, bats, because on rare occasions, I guess it's been known that vampire bats will actually come down and will bite, have been seen to bite people on the thumb to drink a little bit of blood.
Get off of me, you dumb little bat.
Yeah. I mean, they don't, but vampire bats don't really, like, drink enough to kill anybody anyway.
You know? That's what they all say.
Now, I didn't find anything that... says how to kill them. I don't know. It didn't really. I would guess it would almost be like anything else in a normal human. You just, you know, can kill them.
And one of them died in a car accident in V-Wars, so who knows?
That's true. So, yeah, that's like the sad part that I tried to find anything that said, hey, this is how you would detect one or. But I mean, I guess you wouldn't. The only way you could detect them is because, well, of their feet, or their big, huge fucking bat wings.
Yeah, that's kind of fucking strange.
I mean, that way is kind of like a dead ringer. But you know, the other part is kind of like, you know, you get to look at their feet and go, "Wait a minute, those aren't real feet. You're a
Wait
vampire."
Wait a second. I've never seen somebody with hooks for feet before.
One of these they're things new. Is not like the other thing.
They're new.
Wait a minute. What if you're one of those guys like that do like the Paralympics where they have those like fucking like metal kangaroo leg things?
Ooh, you're fucked.
It was just, holy shit, I just thought of that. You get like the guys with like the moon boot shoes.
You're screwed. No.
So that turns them into a vampire then. Motherfucker. That life gave them shit enough. Now they're fucking vampires too.
Sons of bitches.
Okay, I've got one that I'm like, I kind of want Seth to read it just because I want to hear him pronounce it.
Oh, boy.
I'll do mine first, though. Are you all done with yours?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Go ahead for your last one.
So the second one that I picked, I actually just kind of switched gears here because this one's actually way cooler than the other one I was going to talk about, is the Varcolakia, which is Romanian.
So this we're sticking with a theme here.
Yeah, I'm sticking to like Central Europe, kind of, you know, the whole area.
Slavic.
Yeah. This is supposed to be one of the more powerful Romanian vampire species there are. The Varcolakia is a vampire that appears in the folklore of Transylvania and Romania. So it's that generalized area. It can shapeshift at will and likes to travel along the astral tread, which I'm not sure what that is, but it can cause solar and lunar eclipses. This thing's a fucking beast. The Varcolaki are humanoid in appearance with dry, pale skin and dark hair. Their eyes are deep set, dark, and fierce, and they possess tremendous physical strength. So kind of a lot of the real traditional vampire, you know, pale, you know.
Gaunt, thin.
The Varcolakia are nocturnal creatures rising after sunset and leaving their physical forms behind. As spirits, they fly into the sky and, according to legend, drink blood from the moon. That's the most metal fucking thing I've ever read out loud.
Wait, are they on the moon or do they drink the actual moon essence?
I think they drink moon blood.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's insane.
So in Transylvanian folklore, if a woman is alone in a darkened room where... In Transylvanian folklore, if a woman alone in a darkened room were to spin threads, she might accidentally create an astral thread along which the Varcolaki can rise into the sky and devour the moon's blood.
Brutal.
Yeah. So as shapeshifters, the Varcolakia can take any form they choose. Sometimes they will appear as a small black dog, a winged ghost, or a goat-legged demon, or if they want a small dragon.
Whatever.
Nice.
Now, I wonder if you have to pick one beforehand or if you can just be like, oh, I think tonight I'm going to be a wolf.
I think that's what it is.
That's too bad.
I want to be a small dragon.
A common manifestation is the form of a great wolf with many mouths full of teeth. But in whatever form it adapts, the Varcolaki is immensely powerful and impossible to oppose. Doesn't even give you a way to kill this motherfucker. So much for the Vampire Slayer guide.
Exactly. Well, that's kind of depressing.
More like the, hey, don't fuck with this one because it's just impossible to kill. Well, since Seth thought I was picking on him with this one, this one's from Serbia. This is the Children of Judas. The Children of Judas are a cult of red-haired vampires that cause havoc throughout Serbia, Romania, and Bulgaria. But their hair is not your red. It's like blood-ass red.
Oh, yeah, like that's a difference.
It's like ass-blood red.
Ass-blood red. You would know about that.
Hey, experienced blood coming from places it shouldn't. They're known for their killing style. They can drain their victims entirely of blood with one bite. Their bite mark is unique in that it resembles the Latin symbol for the number 30, which is three X's.
Are you serious right now?
I swear to God. Which stands for the number of silver pieces that Judas received for betraying Christ. Judas is seen as a vampiric creature because of his actions during Jesus' last few days, having participated in the Last Supper. Passover dinner. He drank from Jesus's cup, which was symbolically held out to the apostles and as the blood of Christ. The very night Judas went and betrayed Jesus to the authorities, resulting in his arrest and crucifixion. Oh, okay. Judas apparently repented his crimes and hanged himself. He didn't hung himself because we all have had that conversation before. Uh-huh. We don't know if he was hung, but he definitely hanged himself. He's considered by most Christians as the embodiment of evil and is forever damned. Okay, so the crucifixion of Jesus as a result of his betrayal by Judas is probably the basis for the belief that crucifixes are an anathema to vampires. That's a big fucking word. So, however, this concept holds far more weight in fiction than it does in folklore. So that's kind of where you get the idea of crosses being a thing to stop vampires.
I feel like we should have stopped after a while.
I think so, yeah.
Cut all this out.
Yeah, I think so.
Good.
Okay.
I feel dumber now. Talking about that weird thing, I am no smart.
Me no is smart brained.
What am that? No get, no more.
Okay. No more get them stuff. Yes.
So I was fucking talking about some vampires and shit. I mean, we got plenty more we can do out of this book too. Just to, you know, we want to throw one out there.
Wanted to throw everybody a curveball and just go right to vampires.
Yep.
Because, you know, who the hell doesn't like vampires?
Me.
Except for Seth.
Which is funny because the Blood Angels are technically vampires. That's a whole another episode, though.
Mm-hmm. No, I've always been kind of fascinated with vampire stuff, though. I mean,
for me, the vampire is a fascinating creature because in all intents and purposes, it's an aristocratic creature that usually think that they're very fancy, very worried about their looks and their style, and they're very classy, and for lack of a better term, they're essentially class.
Yeah.
They are.
But that's not all of them.
No, that's what I'm saying, though. That's why this was actually, as much as I'm ragging on it, it's fascinating because what we know as traditional vampires and what this was totally two totally different things for me, because I came in knowing, you know, the stereotypical
Dracula and
what we know in common American media as vampires and what's in movies, TV, comics, books, the whole nine yards. So to see what vampires are viewed in other cultures, as much as I was rough on the first one about the mosquitoes, which I'm not going to let go because I hate mosquitoes, it was fascinating because you actually get a taste of what it's like in other cultures, because if you ever know anybody or meet anybody from another country, you talk to them and it's interesting to see what's different, what's similar, how we're like, how we're different. And so something like this is cool because it gives you that taste of what it's like in another country, what they feel, what their folklore is. And then, you know, in the end, you kind of see what was taken for inspiration for what we know. And then how the whole lore itself evolves.
Yeah. Because like I said, with the first one that I covered with the Nalopsy, that one has a lot of the traditional shit with it, where it's like it has to count stuff. You have to bury it a specific way.
I never knew vampires had to count.
Well, like, not all of them, just some of them.
Only the count. But like, seriously though, I actually knew the comic series, but I never watched the movie or the show or whatever it was. Because I think The Strain is loosely based off of...
I haven't watched all that. I've heard it was good, though.
Yeah. But it's like, that's not like my style of vampire, even though it's cool because they are predatory. They're, I don't want to say hive mind driven, but they're literally, their main focus is to eat, consume, move on. To find a place, consume, and move on. Consume, move on. Where I'm used to, like, the Underworld and the Bela Lugosi vampire, where... They're very prim, proper. They kind of want to make you feel like you're lower of a race because you're not one of them.
They're higher on the food chain than you, and they want you to know it.
Yeah, well, like what was it? Look at Skyrim. When Skyrim had the Dawnstone Dawnguard expansion, literally the vampires are in a castle by itself where there's only one way in.
Douchebags.
One way out. And they're like the High Lords. They're these people that are on a whole nother level. Where, and again, you look at Underworld. They're on a whole nother level, very about class, having the high tech of high tech, having literally money and all these different things carry over. Blade, the vampires in the first one, there's older vampires who are literally running legit businesses that are also a little bit on underground.
Yeah, but they had a class in their
own. Yeah, they have a class system.
Yeah.
And then you look at the second one where it's more like the Alasi, where it's very hive mind oriented. It's about feeding and not caring about your own self-preservation, which is a lot of times it's another, like the zombies has zero self-preservation. So that you can see a little bit of similarities there, but it's like, these are smart. They know what they're doing.
Right. Well, because it's like with 30 Days of Night. I know you didn't see it, but
I may have to now.
It's essentially like five or six of them, whatever it is, come into this town and they're essentially a pack of fucking wolves. They just hunt people, kill people, and then they just, their plan is to kill everything here, feed, and move on to the next one.
Yeah, and it's also interesting to see what their weaknesses are. So like with yours, with the mosquito punks, you're just catching them and then their whole thing is negated. Where the Alasi, you have to literally stake them, that's both hearts.
Yep.
Stake them in the face. Then you also
nail him into the fucking coffin.
Yeah, nail him into the coffin and then sprinkle seeds or whatever it is that they can count and then make sure to bury it as far as you can go. Where in traditional, I guess, American or just traditional vampiric sense of like how to kill him, stake him in the heart, holy water, garlic,
silver.
However, if you watch Lost Boys, if you invite them into your house, all their powers, all that, like those weapons are negated.
Yep.
So that's where I'm coming from. Why I was like, oh, we're going to talk about vampires. This is easy. I watch Lost Boys. I watch this. I'm like, I'm good. And then it's like,
wait a minute. Fuck.
Well, this is out of my realm. I'm going to sit back and just listen.
Yeah, because I mean, that's where I was coming from as well. It was like, you know, knowing different things. But then I was like, you know what? We haven't touched Africa, and we do have a listener in Africa.
South Africa.
Yeah, Poovy. And I was like, hey, I want to do something on Africa. Let's see what there is for vampires in Africa. Bless the rains
down in Africa, right?
It does. Yeah. And I found the Asansa Bonsam, and I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. And I was like, okay, is there anything else? Odzi. Ooh, okay, what's that? Turns into a bug. Interesting. You know, it kind of like threw everything for a loop of there's a whole different realm.
I mean,
stuff.
I think I can speak for both of us here. Like, I can't recommend enough. If you have Audible or something, go get the V-War series or pick them up because it's a comic book as well. But that's where I heard about a lot of these different ones the first time. And I was like, what the fuck is that? You look into it and you go, holy shit, vampire lore from around the world is fucking excellent. Like, there's one I was reading in the book that I don't remember where it was from or what it was called. But the best way to prevent it is if you have somebody that you think is one of these things that's died, you bury them face down so that when they rise and they fucking go to dig themselves out of the grave, they dig deeper into the ground.
Wait, it'd be one of those things.
It's got to be fucking Polish vampires.
He'd be sleeping on the ground, like he's just like sleeping dead face down, and all of a sudden, thunk, ow, wait, where am I?
So, yeah. So with that,
fascinating.
With that said,
I can see us doing another one in the future on some more vampires and shit. Maybe specific vampires.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Talk about those hipster kids.
Like maybe a lady.
Those little goth kids that were thinking they're vampires that they ended up killing.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, down in Florida.
Yeah. We're going to leave that one right there.
Yeah. That would be an interesting fucking one. Fucking brutal. The crime scene photos for that are terrible.
So once again, if you're looking for something to listen to our episode or any podcast on...
You want some headphones that don't suck.
Yeah, need some headphones that don't suck. Go check out studio.com, and you can find over-the-ear, in-the-ear, wireless, you know, or wired.
Yeah.
And
they make them all, man.
Yeah. And, you know, check them out. Go when you're at checkout, go to discount portion, put in the discount code of Dark Windows, and get 15% off.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, because we love you.
Yeah.
And also, you can go check out another place, too, that Seth's going to tell you about.
You can go to GameEnvy.net, and you can actually go check a look at the sweet hobby holder. I said it before the opening part of the show, and I'm not going to say it again, but I will say it again just one more time. If you go there, you find what you like, and you put in the promo code Broadstone at checkout, you can save yourself $2 each off each hobby holder. Should I spell it one more time?
Yeah, why not? Once an episode's cool.
Okay, I don't know if I spelled it before, but I'll do it again. It is B R O A D S T O N E. That is Broadstone. You put that at the checkout and you save yourself $2 off each hobby holder.
Yeah. Can I just want to say one last thing about vampires?
What's up?
My least favorite one's Count Chocula.
I will slap you in the face.
No, dude, fucking Booberry and Frankenberry are the best. Nope. Count Chocula can suck a dick.
The wolf one, whatever, the werewolf one that was here for like a couple years and they finally dropped it.
That one was good.
No, it wasn't. Every Halloween time I'm really hating that noise.
Yeah, me too. I wish I could stop it.
Just turn off your notifications.
I will, I guess.
But every Halloween, it's always the same routine. Count Chocula, Blueberry, Frankenberry. I eat them all throughout October. And then by November, I hate everyone and everything again.
Oh, dude, I fucking stockpile it. I can still eat Frankenberry and Booberry in January.
Ooh.
That's a lot of Aries. That's a lot of Aries. Hey, guess what? Let's go. So yeah, we can go buy some.
I did want to just say thank you to everybody again for listening. Thank you to Age of Radio for picking us up and dealing with our stupid shit for yes. for a few weeks now.
And you can check us out on...
Yeah, we couldn't... We wouldn't do this fucking show without you guys listening would just be stupid to put this.
No, just be like what we were before, where we just sit in a car and talk while we're driving around.
Yeah.
We decided to just invite some people.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. So, yeah, so.
If you want to write us, want to get in touch with us, go to Twitter, put in Dark Windows Pod. Go Instagram, same thing. Facebook, Dark Windows Podcast. Email us at Dark Windows Podcast.
Dark Windows Pod.
Sorry.
Yep.
At gmail.com.
Rate, review, subscribe.
On, yeah, whatever you can. So iTunes.
Shit, review us on Facebook. You can do that now, too.
Yep. So. And yeah, you can find us on Facebook. Facebook, all that good stuff.
Send us an email what you want us to cover.
Yeah. We're always up for suggestions. Email, exactly. Get a hold of us on Facebook, whatever. Just we are always taking suggestions.
Yeah, so. You can listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, pretty much almost anything except for what?
I don't know.
SoundCloud.
You can find us a lot of places. Yeah. You can actually go to megaphone.fm and listen to us directly through the website, which is pretty fucking excellent. And I'm going to blow my computer apart because I can't shut these fucking notifications off till after I'm done.
Yeah, because then you could also hear us in your dreams when you're sleeping while you're listening to us with your studio headphones.
Booyah.
Oh, yeah. And you can find, you can want to get a hold of me directly. You can find me on Instagram at Speedy802.
Yep.
You're also on the Facebooks.
And I'm also on the Facebooks as well.
I am always on the Facebooks for the page. Instagram is KCARLETON87 for Instagram. You can get a hold of me there. I think Seth has an Instagram.
Sometimes.
Sometimes I do. Sometimes
you just turned into like a 6-year-old little kid. Like, sometimes I do.
No, I'm Broadstone_creations. You go there, you can see me painting up miniatures and using hobby holders because that's what I do.
Sweet.
What he does.
Dad by day, miniature painter by night, and just an all-around loser. Deuces.
Resident Ginger.
And just because.
Oh, yeah, hold on.
Oh.
One of our good friends in podcasting, one of the girls from Color Me Dead, Angel, was actually sick there for a while, so we want to just say get well soon. Get your ass well soon, because we don't want to listen to just not the show anymore, because get well, goddammit.
Thank you to all of our cool fans.
Yeah, especially the fans. They're fucking excellent. Yeah. Okay, and somebody we haven't thanked in a while, John Falk, guy that does our music. He's pretty fucking kick-ass.
Yes, he is.
Good friend. So, but... And the ending here is pretty fitting considering vampires. Just because you can't see out into the dark doesn't mean that the dark can't see into you.
And also remember, they like to kiss your neck.
Yes.
Kisses.
I want to suck your dick.
Whoa.
Whoa.
What?
Actually,
on that
there note. Is a type of vampire that will bite the femoral artery inside the thigh because of it produces more blood flow than anywhere else.
Yeah, that's probably true.
No, it is true.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I'm saying that makes sense, though.
Yeah, once bitten.
Twice shy?
Nope.
Damn. Don't fucking great white me, Kevin. Don't all start right. That.
We out. Later.
Oh, goodbye.